Letter number 46, Rome, Appearance Without Substance. March 3rd, 1987. A number of you have written to ask about reports appearing in many supposedly Catholic newspapers of, quote-unquote, a massive defection of seminarians from the main seminary of the Cistercian Pius X in Econe, Switzerland. 15 to 20 seminarians are reported to have quit over Archbishop Lefebvre's strong stand against the October meeting in Assisi. And Rome is reported to have established a spiritual centre or kind of halfway house between itself and tradition to receive them. Here is the truth. Back in May of last year, a group of seven seminarians was dismissed from Econe by the rector, Father Alain Laurence, because they had been for several months breaking the seminary rule and actually conspiring with novice ordo priests and bishops to pull a large number of seminarians out of Econe and start another seminary which would be both traditional and acceptable to Rome. They were mistaken or they were positively deceived, were the words of Father Laurence, quote, because the so-called traditional centre set up to receive them in Rome is no more nor less than a disinfection chamber, a sort of sieve with which to sift out of the young men coming from Econe their last remaining traces of tradition, unquote. Ironically, some of the liberal French bishops were deceived too, because the same reports told of them being stricken with panic lest the halfway traditional house in Rome should attract some of their own few remaining seminarians. Only their guilty conscience could have deceived them, because two grains of common sense would have told them that today's Rome can no more run a traditional house than a fox can run a hen coop. Today's Rome. What is today's Rome? Why does it keep giving out such contrary signals? Because we are living in a world in which, as the agents of the Antichrist gain more and more the upper hand, things are less and less what they appear. We are constantly being deceived. Words are being given new meanings. Institutions are being given a new content. Let me illustrate with a sorry tale from my own country, England. In the most interesting article entitled, quote, Treason Has a New Meaning, unquote, from the January issue of Ivor Benson's South African monthly Behind the News, Benson starts out from the extraordinary fuss that was made recently by the British government to stop a book from appearing in Australia, which was written by a high-up former member of Britain's reputed Secret Service, MI5, and which risked uncovering once more a number of Soviet spies and traitors inside MI5, including its very head for 9 years, one Sir Roger Hollis. This scenario of treason in high places, says Benson, can be paralleled in nearly all countries of the West. As Roosevelt and Truman covered up for the spy Alger Hiss, as Canadian Premier Lester Pearson covered up for the KGB agent Herbert Norman, as Harold Macmillan covered up for the traitor Kim Philby, so, most recently, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, supposed right-winger and nationalist, has covered up for the Soviet mole Sir Roger Hollis. Going on to ask why and how the British upper classes could produce such a string of traitors at that time as Burgess, Maclean, Philby, Blunt, and now Hollis, Benson quotes a celebrated British historian, Professor Arnold Toynbee, addressing an international gathering in Copenhagen in June of 1931. Quote of Professor Toynbee, we are at present working discreetly, but with all our might, to wrest this mysterious force called sovereignty out of the clutches of the local national states of the world. All the time we are denying with our lips what we are doing with our hands, because to impugn the sovereignty of the local national states of the world is still a heresy, for which a statesman or a publicist can be, perhaps not quite burned at the stake, but certainly ostracized and discredited, end of the quote of Professor Toynbee. Benson goes on to quote the recent reactions of two genuine British patriots. The journalist Peregrine Woosthorne wrote an article entitled, quote, My Country Right or Wrong, unquote, in which he bitterly deplored British policies, which have left him with a feeling of being a stranger in his own country. And he remarked, quote, It would not be difficult for me to be disloyal to this country, unquote. The politician Enoch Powell had this to say, quote, My country right or wrong is all very well. I would subscribe to the principle. My trouble is that I wonder if I any longer have a country at all, unquote. Open parentheses. Of course, Catholics know that my country right or wrong is a false principle and that the faith alone can harmonize the true interests of my homeland with those of every other man's homeland. Nevertheless, Woosthorne and Powell do at least love their country, whereas Toynbee's is a program of lies and deceit to betray it. Close the parentheses. As Benson concludes, the word, quote-unquote, treason has changed its meaning. It no longer means betraying one's own nation. It means now betraying the international revolution, the anti-national ideal of which the Soviet Union has for 70 years, it no longer means betraying one's own nation. It means now betraying the international revolution, the anti-national ideal of which the Soviet Union has for 70 years been the flaming symbol. Such is unquestionably the secret mentality of numbers of our present leaders, pretending in public to lead us one way for as long as they have to pay lip service to the old set of values, but deep down ready to lie, deceive, betray, break any of God's Ten Commandments in order to bring us in line with the new set of values. Thus we live in a world giving itself over to the Antichrist, where, between the appearances and the reality, there is a great gulf fixed. Judged by the old set of values, the supposed upper classes of men like Philby, Burgess, etc., could in reality hardly sink lower. A quote-unquote Sir Roger Hollis is in fact a skunk. Such and such a prominent leader is in truth a preeminent liar. A quote-unquote professor is a teacher of treachery. The media are prime means of disinformation. Quote-unquote education has become a veritable sewer of intellectual and moral corruption, and, quote-unquote, my country has been turned into a mere slogan to deceive me. And my church? What have they done to her? In truth, since on the Catholic Church ultimately hangs all the old set of values, then in no domain was it so important for the godless and lawless revolutionaries to penetrate, to empty out the substance, but to maintain the appearances so as the better to deceive the people. And if the people were not watching and praying, not remembering our Lord's own words, to judge by the fruits, Matthew 7:15-20, to judge not according to the appearances, but judge just judgment, John 7:24, then the people were easily deceived. So just what is, quote-unquote, today's Rome? Judged by a just judgment of its fruits, it is the appearance of the leadership of the Catholic Church without the substance or reality. How easy to transpose to our situation as Catholics the remarks of Powell and Woosthorne on their country. Quote, We would subscribe to the principle of Rome. Our trouble is we wonder if we any longer have a Rome at all. It will not be difficult for us to be disloyal to this Rome, unquote. The parallel with the Church is striking and illuminating. In brief, if Archbishop Lefebvre were to consecrate bishops without Rome's authorization, he might be cutting with the appearance of Rome, but never with its Catholic substance or reality. Prudently, however, he is still waiting. For our own part, how are we to keep our grip on the reality and substance of things and not slide with the whole world around us into the Antichrist's diabolical dreamland? Firstly, by prayer, which grounds our soul in the supreme reality, God, who is being itself, more intimate to us than we are to ourselves, who is truth itself without the least trace of a lie, who cannot deceive nor be deceived. The more a soul prays, the less it can be deceived. Secondly, by attendance at Mass, but celebrated in a rite without falsehood, where our soul is present at the supreme reality of Calvary. Who can consciously be in the real presence of the sacrifice of the cross and still dream away the things that matter, which are God's love, the soul, sin, and redemption? Profit by the letter of Archbishop Lefebvre for Lent enclosed, in which he encourages, amongst other things, more frequent attendance, if possible, at Mass. There our Lord himself gives us light and courage. Quote, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," unquote, John 14, verse 2. Continual thanks for your great support of the seminary, news of which you find in the Verbum enclosed. Remember us in Lent, and may you profit by the holy season and advance in wisdom and grace. What else matters? End of letter 46.